That's for you rockers out there. It's Your Thing. I'm sure many of you remember that song with Lou Donaldson on the lead here. And it was one of my favorites. And this is a slowed up version and a deeper souled version. It was an Isley Brothers hit, released as a funk single in 1969, and with Lou Donaldson, as he is on here, on saxophone. He recorded it as an instrumental version for his album, Hot Dog, which is he also released in 1969. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrace Lead, and a lot is going on. I don't know where to start. I can imagine just how stressful life is for people all over the world. And yet the leaders don't seem to really get it, that everything, or I should say practically everything, is upside down. Everything, practically everything, is kind of out of order. And life still must go on. Life still must go on. But this is incredible pressure. And I don't think we have really stopped to think about what this kind of daily pressure is doing in people's lives all over the world, causing all kinds of calamity in their lives. And it seems as if there is no room, there's just no room for calm and quiet and joy and peace. Every minute of the day is occupied with some kind of trauma, some kind of drama, some kind of fight going on. And especially as it relates to the United States, when you look at what the news tells us, you see how just cantankerous life is in the halls of Congress and local, state, and your even your little neighborhood outfits where supposedly you gather to solve problems. It's a fight. It's a big war. And practically nowhere is there a semblance of, well, we have things in hand, we know what we're doing, we know where we're going, and we just keep to that. We just try that as our guide for how we live. It is a never-ending onslaught of calamity. It just doesn't stop. I don't think, however, that this was always the case. I know we've had periods, especially you could say in the 60s and so forth, where we had upheavals, national upheavals, which translated down to local and, you know, almost block by block, we had a lot of things going on, and people were engaged, and there was struggle and so forth. I understand that. But this way of life that we have become accustomed to is no good. It just is, it's not going to do us any good. There's always a fight. There's always, you know, this one snarling at that one, and people doing everything they can to impede progress rather than to assist the process of moving forward, which is why they're there, presumably, as elected officials, to help with the solutions. You take a guy like Ted Cruz, or you take Rand Paul, or even Giuliani, what is it with you? What is it with you guys? Why don't you go someplace and enter yourself into a long-term therapeutic program to find out how you have become the miserable cretins that you are, and why you can deliver nothing good, or certainly nothing that people want in terms of how we operate as a society. And it's all about creating stress, creating discord and confusion in order to get special attention so that you could be known for something. Since you can't be known for solving things, you don't want to be known for that. You don't want to be known as a politician who consistently works at trying to find solutions. Instead, you want to come to people's attention as, you know, the enfant terrible. If you don't get what you want, you're going to make a whole lot of noise. You're going to make life miserable for everybody. You're going to, you know, set yourself up as the curmudgeon. And suddenly that becomes a really attractive idea. Donald Trump has done it all of his life. He became known literally as, you know, a spoiled child in a grown man's body, not qualified for the role that he eventually had. But people put him there because they orchestrate media coverage to give them extra lift. Oh, this guy is doing something. Oh, he has something to say. No, he has nothing to say. He's an idiot. And we shouldn't really want people like this in the apparatus of our government. We shouldn't want that. We should be looking for people who are concerned about how best to approach this question of governance so that people can lead normal lives and within reason achieve their modest hopes and dreams and aspirations without the added pressures that are put upon them for no reason other than you can make that happen. So you do. And you want to make a name for yourself. If you look at some of the people who have distinguished, and I use that word very advisedly, themselves in government, it is because they've caused trouble. They're known for trouble. They're not rational at all. In fact, when you look at them closely, you see an urgent need for these people to be put into treatment. These people shouldn't be anywhere close to making decisions for this nation. They shouldn't have this kind of responsibility and power and authority, but they do. And because they do, we are saddled with the burden of having to live with their insanity. And we think, well, it's, we should talk about the issues. There aren't issues anymore to talk about other than the immediate and pressing need for psychiatric care to get these people out of the sphere of influence that they have because they can't manage it. They're not qualified. They can't handle it. And in and of themselves, organically, they're sick. They're sick people, plain and simple. I come back to Ted Cruz. Why is it that you take such pride in being an obstructionist? The country has a new president, and, you know, like any new administration, you get your people in place and blah, 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 blah. Here's Ted Cruz standing in the way of diplomatic appointments. Oh, I'm not going to vote for this one. I'm not going to vote for that one. It's not really about whether he wants to vote for this one or that one. It is that he wants to make it known. He's upset. He doesn't like the fact that the lights are not shining on him permanently. So what does he do? He throws a monkey wrench into the works and stalls what should be a logical process. You have a new president. The new president picks his appointees to all of these diplomatic posts, which are vital in this world now, because it's about a global agenda and how the United States fits into that, if it fits in at all. And he's in the corner saying, I'm not going to vote. I'm not. You'll see, I won't. A big grown man acting like an idiot like this. And the whole nation, oh, Ted, what do you think? What is your idea? Let's hear it. And let's see if we can pass that. This is how people are functioning at the highest levels of government in this country. They are clearly psychologically scarred for life. And they give us the exquisite joy of having to live with their stupidity. And their votes on this, and their votes on that, and their threatened action on the other. Is this the way this country is supposed to be running? Somebody needs to walk through Congress with a Sith, you know, they all, and just start swinging. There are very sick, sick people, debilitated, demented people in office at all levels. And a large part of the reason that we are stuck, we can't seem to make progress. And if we do, it will not come easily because these in their own heads, they are obstructionists by nature. And they have come to value media attention greatly because that elevates them too. When you're mediocre and people are calling you up for quotes, You're no longer mediocre. You're kind of a star. You have power. And are you going to engage in a discussion of why do you call me? You know I have no experience in, or expertise in this area. You're not going to say that. It's all about profiling. Most of them should not be in office. Most of them should not be. They have not been schooled in governance. And that is a basic skill you ought to have. You are in the realm of governance, and you don't know a thing about governance. You don't have basic skills about how you deal with people. How do you approach problem solving? You have none of these skills. And yet, you're a member of Congress. I'm a member of the Senate. Yeah, well, I understand that. But that doesn't mean you're supposed to be there. We won't clean them out. We won't publicly confront them. We won't tell the truth about these people. And yet they're there. Every time you turn around, they're there making some kind of mischief. I'm seeing now that they're concentrating on destroying Rudolph Giuliani, who at one time was the most powerful prosecutor in the country. They snatched him up and they put him on a pedestal. He was the man. Rudy Giuliani was the guy. Now, what did the story say? The stories talk about how drunk he is frequently, out of control drunk. The stories talk about how he has lost it. Well, if this has become public knowledge, certainly enough people knew or know about it to do something about it, but nobody does anything. So they give him full rein. You go right ahead and do your Rudolph Giuliani type thing. And he wreaks havoc wherever he goes. The last story I saw about Rudy Giuliani talked about a concern that being so drunk as he was at a social event, there was a concern that he might smash the silverware and the dishware of the president, which is, of course, handed down from president to president. I mean, this is what you find out. These people are crazy. And nobody is talking about the fact that this is not the time to have crazy people in office for any reason. If they're having trouble of whatever type, go someplace and get it fixed. But why should the people be besieged by these people who are completely inept? They're unqualified. They are, in fact, a hindrance and a detriment to moving ahead in a logical way. You have this woman running around. She's a member of Congress. What's her name? I don't even recall her name now. And she's doing her best to get arrested at every turn because, and they're giving people all kinds of reasons, because she has a particular take on politics, and she's one of the people who objects to everything. No, she's not one of those people who objects to everything. She's got several screws in her head that are loose. She shouldn't be in Congress. But hey, people elected her. So we have to ask the question, what is our role in all of this? To what degree do we create our own headaches, our own legislative headaches, by putting into office people who clearly are not qualified? They're not qualified on any level. They're not educationally qualified. They're not experientially qualified. Of them, in and of themselves, they can't come up with a single creative thing that could be done. And then you can let, you can sit back and relax on this one point because you know it's in great hands. No. All throughout our country, we have an invasion, a kind of coronavirus. We have awful people in leadership positions, awful. And we won't do anything about it. Suddenly, when it comes time to really get this thing threshed out, we start talking about, you know, issues. Let's talk about the issues. The number one issue is you have an idiot. You have an idiot, or you have a crook, or you have a psychotic person representing you. Now what are you going to do about it? This is going, it's already at, I think, a crisis level. And it's going to be a problem. Because even if you don't want to admit it, meaning the political leadership, all over the world, it is known. All over the world, people have a sense that American leadership is not really up to par. They're not well schooled. They're not well trained. They're not well educated. And most of them of this ilk should not be in positions of power and influence in this country or anywhere else. But we talk all the time about the things that the politicians are doing wrong. That's because the politicians are wrong. What do you expect? These people have a very closely defined agenda, and it has to do with them. What can I get? I could get a son, my son a job. I could get a new house. I could get invited to so-and-so. That's where their heads are at. They're not dealing with the issues of the day. They're not vigorously pursuing alternatives to the quandaries that we face in and the quagmires that we caught up in. They're not dealing with that. That's not why they got elected. That's not why they run for office. They want a new car. They want to move in a nice neighborhood. They want their kids to go to better schools, just like everybody else. But they have a vengeance about it. Now, lest people say, well, you're encouraging this. This is actually hate speech against politicians. No, not at all. Not at all. I'm very clear about elected officials who are doing a good job and trying very hard to execute the plans that the people elected them to do. I get that. There are very few, however. The vast majority, I would say, are people who are following their agenda. And their agenda does not necessarily coincide with the people's agenda. And you could talk Paul, and you could preach Saul. But politics is the way they solve many of their personal problems. The need for adoration, the need to move up the ladder, the need to be invited to the better parties, the need to make more money, the need to have some kind of influence. I was reading this weekend about, I've been reading, and I should say I've been keeping up with stories about Surfside, where this building collapsed and almost 100 people were killed in South Florida. What do you discover, you think? It is a, and it has been, a kind of mafia all these years that has run this little enclave. And the kinds of crimes that have been committed and people getting busted on and going to jail for, you would never think that. But that's exactly what it is. It's a cesspool, a political cesspool. It has been since it was formed. And people are saying, you know, it's time to fix up these buildings. That's not the issue. It's too late. These people were in charge. They were multimillionaires. This was a kind of Jewish mafia right in the heart of Miami, you could say. They owned the real estate. They ran it like a mafia town. And nobody today, if you read stories about it, you're talking about, you know, the sad part of how the buildings collapsed, how the buildings are not in good shape and can collapse. But all this time, it was about these predators using or misusing their power and clout to achieve their individual goals. A lot of them went to prison. We don't know that. A lot of them were busted for major crimes. This was a kind of do whatever you want, but it was kept quiet. You see? And so this town, this little town, went to hell. And the only thing that really brought it dramatically to everybody's attention is the collapse of this building. But in fact, this entire community had collapsed a long time ago. That's the point I'm making. There was no infrastructure there that concerned itself with the community. I told you of my own experience trying to get to a friend of mine. I was driving, and the directions given me were a little off, and got out in a strange place where everybody wants a panoramic view of the sea, of the ocean, of any kind of water. And they kept the community absolutely impeccably Jewish. Nobody else lived there. And they kept their secrets to themselves. And so while they were doing all these awful things, the buildings were corroding. And only when a building actually collapsed and several others are threatening to collapse did people sit up and take notice. But you had all these people. This was like a caucus that they'd been feeding on for all these years. Criminals from Canada would come into the safe arms of the Jewish community there and will find protection. As like anything else, if you don't have somebody who's going to say, look, this is we're not going to tolerate this. This is not going to work. That's what it automatically leads to. So, okay, I'm done talking for today, and we will continue the discussion because it's a very important discussion. We, the people, have tolerated. This is a form of abuse, self-abuse, of course. But the other form of abuse is the abuse of integrity and the system that should be helping people out of the misery that we were consigned to. And it's taking so long because one set of people who are elected are about their personal business. That's the priority. The rest of us are just going to have to learn how to tolerate them and to wait to see if any change could happen. Either way, it's a lousy way to live. And either way, we will have to admit, we can't avoid it. We are responsible. We are responsible for this. I'll take this break, come back to your thoughts right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Utrice Lead, and we're talking about a very uncomfortable subject, that we are responsible to a very significant degree for our travails, because we tolerate this, we vote for it, we put it in office, and we give people dominion over us who should not be anywhere where sane people are. 888-874-4888. Let's talk about that, because we'll talk about it again tomorrow. I don't think we can catch all of the flavor today. There's a lot there that needs to be talked about. 888-874-4888. We are responsible, and let's not duck it. Let's not try to avoid it or evade it. a lot of what is going on bad, what's going on bad in our communities, we're responsible for. We are responsible for that. If you want to challenge that notion, I'll be happy to listen to your challenge. But I'm telling you right now, you're going to have one hell of a fight. It's time for us to unmask these people and get them out of our misery. 888-874-4888. What are your thoughts? You see, we can't continue to point fingers outward. As they say, when you point with one finger, there's a whole bunch of fingers pointing back at you, but we never notice that. We've got to get this thing taken care of. We have to face it. And we have to assume the responsibility of cleaning up, to a large degree, the mess that we have to live with. Why should we continue this pattern? Why are we continually underrepresented by people who have other priorities? And we have to do something about it. Sonia from the Bronx, you start us off today.
Hi, Yatrie.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Yes. I find the amount of news we're getting is overwhelming, but we have to pick and choose what we wish to listen to. I personally find Rand Paul's reports useful. And his reports are similar to those that Gary Noel puts on his show every single day. So I'm not sure why this is, misinformation or fake news. Gary Noel is using the same materials that you accuse Rand Paul of using to influence us. I think that these are valid, and people have the right to pick and choose what they wish to listen to. And it shouldn't be that, it's either or. And I'm just a little bit surprised that it's being couched in these terms.
Did you hear me suggest that we do either or? Did you hear me single out Rand Paul? You did.
Well, Rand Paul and Cruz. But the thing
I singled out Cruz. I did. No question about that. He should have been singled out a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't listen to him, but my point is I listen to Gary and you every day. And Gary,
this is not about who you listen to. This is about what are your expectations of leadership, political leadership? Are you trying to convince me that you are satisfied with the quality and caliber of political leadership that you have?
No, I am not. I am not satisfied, but I am okay. I am interested in information about protecting myself.
But you're confusing two things. I'm not talking about information. I'm asking directly, what is your expectation about the caliber of leadership that you have, and what are you prepared to do about a caliber of leadership if you find it objectionable? And you're talking about information. You're missing the point.
I'm talking about, leadership has a large part, in large part, to do with information, the information provided to the public.
Let me say this to you. You are a voter.
Yes.
It's your job to come to some conclusion about who is representing you. It is your job to evaluate the performance of the person you have elected to office. Are they doing a good job? It has nothing to do with information.
Of course it has to do with information. How can you communicate what kind of job they're doing if there is no information? I mean, it's just
you
my
want
point
to go,
is,
you're going on a whole tour,
no,
but you get the subject that I'm raising, except you don't want to deal with it.
About what they're saying and how it's draining us and dragging us down. And yes, that's partially true. some of us find such information helpful, such as the investigation into Dr. Fauci's activities. I find it helpful. Yes, I want to be informed.
Again, you are...
That is leadership.
Moving
that
away from the subject. You're moving away from the subject. You're trying it, but you're not that skillful to do it.
Well, Yatrice, I think you need to listen to what you just said.
I am still focused on what I started talking about. The miserable state of our leadership. And that is our fault. It has nothing to do with whether you agree with Fauci or whether you agree with Gary Null or whether you agree with Ted Cruz. That's not the point. The point is our leadership stinks for the most part.
Absolutely. Yes.
So what are you doing about
it? I agree with you. Yatrice. As long as corporations are in control of our leadership,
okay. I gotta go because you're not getting this. I'm talking apples. You insist on talking oranges. It's not going to work. So thanks for calling. Okay, we'll move on. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
But I totally agree with you. I mean, the problem with the American people at large, and partially myself included, we lost interest in the process of government, and we forgot the simple fact that government is a participatory sport. And when you lose focus, when you lose vigilance, when you don't take an interest in the mechanisms that are supposed to provide life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then you lose them, and you wind up with the madmen in charge of the asylum. And that's what's happened. And the paramount problem that I see is people don't know what government is. People don't know what leadership is. They confuse the cult of personality. They confuse popularity and liking someone with effective governance and the ability to have administrative skills. There's an art to government. There's a skill to administrating and allocating of resources and directing a populace. There's the art of compromise. There's the art of debate. There's the art of opposing. There's the function of opposing views and the ability to argue your point and the ability to disagree but still arrive at a consensus and have value to it. And we don't have that anymore. We have a bunch of imbeciles and like you said, insane terrible running around, leading with their egos, leading with conjecture, leading with emotions, no logic, and there's a deficit in the populace as far as political education, as far as what a government's purpose is, and how that purpose should be fulfilled. And until the education comes up, we're always going to have this problem. And it's just going to get worse.
The question implies, when are we going to stop having this problem?
When do people get tired? I mean, you know, there's a maximum amount of discomfort you can deal with. And when the discomfort becomes totally unacceptable, then we'll move forward.
Well, this may sound awful, but it hasn't happened so far, although one would have thought so many things have happened that would have pushed people in that direction. And yet it hasn't happened. So maybe we need to go a step further and expect that before we do anything, we must first have a catastrophe. We must all face catastrophe before we get our act together. And that's a sad thing. It doesn't have to happen, but it looks like we are actually encouraging it to happen because we're not doing anything.
Unfortunately, I mean, if you look at history, that's what has to take place. I mean, things get bad, people get upset. They a consensus develops, a small minority of people become active and people follow suit, and then things calm down, and there's a calm before the storm, so to speak, and things tend to decline until they reach a rock bottom, and then we come back up. I mean, is that human nature? Is that how we've evolved to become only through maximum discomfort? Do we express and act on our better interests? I tend to agree with you. I mean, you know, and nothing lasts forever. So maybe this is the time.
Maybe this is the time. We're heading close to the time when people will have to do something, and they will have no choice. Thanks, Ed, for your contribution today. Joe from New Jersey, you're on the air at 888-874-4888. What are your thoughts?
You mean John? Are you looking for John? If you're looking for John, that's me.
Sorry, John. Okay.
Yes, John from Jersey. I used to call until I think I got kicked off the air for getting too wild. But the question is, the government today, what do I think of them? Is that pretty much what it is?
We're talking about the condition of our situation. What is our condition?
You don't need to say another word. The condition of our situation, in a word, sucks big time, big time. It's right in our face. They're gonna wipe the ground up with us. The second that we try to organize, remember when they dropped the bombs on the Black Panthers? That's going to be nothing compared to what they're going to do to the people who try to organize to go up against them. And we know who them and they are. They're the ones that keep supplying the arms industry in this country so that we can eventually take over the world and do whatever we want. That's what we want. That's what America is all about. You can't stop it. It's more than a runaway trade. That's what I have to say. Ed, you're the greatest, man. I hear you all the time, and you're the greatest. You should run. You should be one of the good politicians, a couple of handfuls of them that there are. The rest,
we'll have to leave it there because we're out of time.
I'm done. Thank you. Have a good day.
We'll return to this discussion tomorrow because it has to be fleshed out quite a bit more. What is it that has to happen before people really get involved in their own interests and rectify this collision course that we're on? It is a collision course. It's going to blow up. And anytime things blow up, we have to stop shirking our responsibilities. We are responsible for the poor leadership in our communities. We are responsible for the second and third rate leaders that we have. We are. You can't blame them. You can't blame the leaders. They're doing what leaders would do to get elected. But we are falling down, or correct tense here, we have fallen down on the job. And I'm saying you don't get a pass. We don't get a pass here now. Things are at a stage where you have to be on the right side of things for the time being. Well, I want to thank you for the short exploration that we did today. We'll continue it tomorrow. It is so urgent that we get to the subject because it is uniformly being experienced all over this country and all over the world. Look what's happening to Haiti, for crying out loud. Look what's happening to Haiti. We can't just be tourists in our own experience. We have to be active participants in it, and we have to decide that we deserve a certain quality of leadership, And we must have that. This is not an experiment. It is not for one person to say, well, I have achieved. No, it's about the entire community doing better. The entire community under the protection of its political power. That's what I'm talking about. And it's time to just set all this other stuff aside. It's not important. Who are our leaders? Who made them leaders? And to what degree are we responsible for the abysmal level of leadership that we have uniformly all across this country? Thanks for listening. Let's talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.